Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Have you ever gotten a song stuck in your head and you just can't get it out?
Yeah.
We've all been there, right? Songs that just won't go away. They've been played over and over so many times, they're emblazoned on our brains, right? They just won't go away. When back in the day when I was a young man and I was in radio, there's a way that radio programming works. If you listen to the radio all the time, it's just not, oh, that song came up, that's awful random. No, it's not. That's not the way, it's not a random thing. When I was in radio, there was a clock that you followed, and it told you at what times during the hour what songs to play, okay? And the most popular songs, you know, the songs that you seem to, it's like every other song, they seem to play that song. Well, that's on the hot list, okay? And those songs get played twice, sometimes maybe three times an hour. The same song, it's like in the top 10, and it's in hot rotation, is what they call it. And you can imagine what that's like. And back in 1992, when I was a radio disc jockey, yes, I did that at one point in my career. I was a radio disc jockey. Can you imagine what it was like for me to play Achy Breaky Heart three times an hour? Three times an hour, every day of the week I would go in, and I think it was the summer of 92 or the summer or the fall of 92. Matt McAbee and I, we talked about this morning. Billy Ray Cyrus, it was his first debut album. He was the bomb. All the ladies loved Billy Ray. And don't tell my heart, my achy breaky heart, I just don't think he'll understand. And if you know my heart, you know where I'm going with this, right? I'm sorry, that's in your head. I put it there this morning. I reminded you, can you imagine that? You know, I would wake up in the middle of the night trying to get a good night's rest, and the song would be playing in my head. It was emblazoned on my brain. Repetition. Repetition, right? Repetition, it drives those songs into our memory. And this happens with VBS every year. I know Pastor Melissa was at our house this week, and I was working from home, and she and Pastor Vicky were in our living room, and they were planning VBS. They're getting ready for VBS, which is coming up in June. And for you workers out there, you can't tell me there hasn't been some day when you're just doing your thing and you find yourself singing a VBS song from, not last year, but maybe like 4 years ago, right? Even further back. And like last year when Pastor Vicky put Baby Shark into the rotation, it was just like, oh my goodness. Oh, goodness gracious. I want to spend a few moments this morning focusing on this notion of songs that we can't get out of our heads. Songs that we can't get out of our heads. This week is the fifth week of Lent. It's the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we're wrapping up this sermon series that I've been focused on since the beginning of the year, talking about what it takes to be remade into the image of Christ. And since January, we've been focusing on the implications of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of hoping that Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is kind of like achy breaky heart to you. I'm kind of hoping it's one of those verses that you can't get out of your mind anymore because the pastor has emblazoned it on your mind. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is a message not for people who haven't met Jesus before. This is a message for Christians. This is a message for people who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, but as Wilma testified this morning, Jesus wants to carry you further along in the walk with Him. If you're a regular attender here at Maplewood, can you tell me what my challenge for you this year is?
Go deeper with God than you ever have before.
Yes, Dexter gets an A+. That is the gold star, to go deeper with Jesus than we ever have gone before in our lives. And we're 5 weeks into Lent. We're almost to the end of March. And I'm asking you again, I'm poking you this morning, what have you done this year to go deeper with Jesus than you ever had before? And I'm not talking about like works of service in the church. I'm talking about what have you done in your spiritual walk? What have you done differently this year in your spiritual time with Jesus to go deeper with him than you ever have before? We spent several weeks earlier this year confronting the lies that we tell ourselves. And I encourage you, if you missed that, all of them are on our website. You can go listen to all of those services, trying to equip you and help you confront the lies that we tell ourselves. And over the past couple of weeks, we've been exploring, I've been intentionally exploring ways that you can renew your mind. We need tools, church, amen? We need help. We need tips. We need tips on how to do this walk with Jesus. And so as your pastor, my focus has been to equip you with different tools that may work with you that will help you go with Jesus deeper than you ever have before in your life. And so today I want to give you one more way to renew your mind. One more way to break the mold of the pattern of this world that you've been conforming to. One more way to help you so that you can be remade in the image of Christ. We've been exploring all these different methods to focus on God. And we talked about the David method, right? A couple weeks ago, the David method, using nature. Who likes to go out in nature? Sunny morning, beautiful day, it's really easy. But on those cloudy days, it's kind of hard to get into nature sometimes and experience God. But we got the David model and we got the Mary model, where we talked about, hey, focus on the life of Jesus. Take some time and just focus on the life of Jesus, what he did, who he is. And that's another way to focus our minds on God. And last week we covered the St. John model, which was literally to focus our minds on the cross. The cross. We have this beautiful cross presentation that Matt and Crystal made down here in front of the communion table for our Lenten season, focusing specifically on the cross, what Jesus did on it, and why that cross gives us a notorious hope. All right? So this morning, one final tip. All right, this is one final method on how to focus on God and get more deeply in touch with the Lord through biblical meditation. And literally this week, I want to talk to you. Dexter mentioned Joshua this week. I want to talk about the Joshua model. The Joshua model, which is specifically about focusing on Scripture. Specifically about focusing on the Scriptures. And in a way, maybe this should have been the first type of meditation when I talked about biblical meditation that I should have put in front here in my message series. But the more I thought about it, I wanted to end the series on this note, because it's important for us as followers of Jesus to get this point in our head, all right, so we don't forget it. Joshua was one of the lieutenants of Moses. Go all the way back in the Old Testament. He was a lieutenant. He served under Moses during the exodus of the Israelites. Pastor Vicky beautifully just told a little bit of that story this morning. The Israelites spent 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert, traveling around in circles. And Joshua was a part of all of that. He was one of the lieutenants of Moses. Moses had handpicked Joshua. If you go to the early part of Deuteronomy, you find that Moses is choosing Joshua to succeed him. To succeed him as the leader. Moses, where Moses was, his job was to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt, it would be Joshua's job to lead all of these people into the promised land. Notice those two steps there. They were brought out of Egypt, but they still hadn't arrived in the promised land. They were in the desert, but they had not arrived at their destination. And as we read this story about Joshua, he's kind of like us. He was chosen by Moses for this very big task, intimidating task, really, if you think about it. And the more I think about it, as I read about Joshua, I think this dude had a huge confidence problem. You know, when we think of Joshua, we think, oh, he's bold and courageous because that's what the Scripture says. I don't believe that at all. I think Joshua had a confidence problem. Very moment when Moses is calling Joshua to be his lieutenant, we see signs of this. You know, Joshua, he's probably thinking in his mind, who in the world can fill the shoes of Moses? Right? Moses was the guy who, he brought the plagues down on Pharaoh. You know, turned the water to blood. All of the locusts, all the different plagues. Moses did that with the staff. Moses was the guy who brought the tablets with the Ten Commandments down from Mount Sinai. His face was so incredibly transformed by the glory of God that he had to cover it up. Joshua was probably thinking, there's no way I can fill this guy's shoes. Moses, he was the dude who raised his staff and literally the Red Sea parted. Not just a little bit, but all the way to the bottom in the entire nation of Israel. They walked through that sea and they walked to liberation as they were escaping. And Joshua, in his mind, you can kind of see why he may be having a bit of a crisis of confidence. Big shoes to fill. God, you want me to do what? Moses, you want me to be your successor at every turn? When Joshua's name is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy and in the first chapter of his own story, we see Joshua needs a lot of encouragement. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you know, even when he is first mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, his initial calling, the first time he's mentioned in the story, Moses is advised by God to encourage and strengthen this Joshua fellow because he's going to need it. He's going to need it. And in Joshua chapter 1, where we find ourselves this morning, we find the focus and source of guidance for the Joshua model of biblical meditation. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Here it is again. And remember, this is said to a person who's having a crisis of confidence. Big shoes to fill, totally intimidated. How am I going to do this? Anybody felt that way before? I think that's why we like this scripture. That's why we go here. That's why we're drawn to this passage, because we face a crisis of confidence in our lives sometimes. And God says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. We like to just focus on that part. Be strong and very courageous. But in the next breath, God says, but be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Those tablets, the Ten Commandments, right? Be careful. Be strong and courageous, but be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Be strong and courageous, but be careful to obey the scriptures, to be in the scriptures. This very short passage provides some essential information for us regarding how biblical meditation isn't just valuable, folks. It's essential for us as followers of Jesus. First off, note how biblical meditation is linked directly to strength and courage. There is a connection between strength and courage. It's a simple if-then type of situation. If we stay grounded in God's word, we will find strength and we will find courage and we will find prosperity spiritually and success spiritually in spite of our circumstances. I am not preaching a prosperity gospel to you this morning, okay? It's not a if you obey God's word, then you'll get all sorts of money or something. No, 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 no. This is a spiritual lesson that we're talking about here today. If we stay grounded in the word, we will be spiritually prosperous. So often we find ourselves running in fear. I don't know about you, but sometimes life throws curveballs at us and we feel off balance. Anybody felt off balance before? You know, we've all lost our balance physically, but have you felt off balance spiritually? Something's just not right. We find ourselves often in our spiritual lives, we come to church, we look great, I'm doing fine, Pastor. But underneath, we're really, if we're honest with ourselves, experiencing a crisis of confidence. Fake it till you make it, baby. Right? That's the word, fake it till you make it. We find ourselves needing encouragement and strength when we are overwhelmed by the challenges in front of us, just like Joshua. I am convinced that he was in a crisis of confidence. And friends, I'll just tell you this. I find this truth at work in my own life. I'm just bringing you my own personal experience this morning. In seasons where I have not been firmly grounded in the scriptures on a regular basis, I find myself wandering. I find myself drifting. I find myself susceptible to falling prey to temptation. I find myself blown off course. I find myself lacking a sense of real purpose in my life. And quite frankly, when I'm not grounded in the Word, I find myself lacking confidence. And that lack of confidence, spiritually speaking, it kind of permeates my life and it comes out in every sector of my life. That's just been my experience. But when I find myself firmly grounded in the Word on a regular basis, I'm talking about getting into the Word like Joshua said, firmly grounded in the Word, I find that I just have a peace. I have a poise that I can't describe. I have a confidence in my life that is not related to anything earthly. It's a confidence that I have from the Spirit. When I am firmly grounded in the Word in my life, I feel like I have more of a sense of purpose. More of a sense of purpose, a sense of peace, regardless of what the circumstances is. That'd mean my life's easy, you know? I got a lot of hard things going on in my life right now. A lot of hard things. But you know what? I face them with confidence because I am firmly grounded in the Word. Notorious hope. It's noteworthy. It's noteworthy. If you want to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life, biblical meditation needs to be a part of your daily and weekly routine. You just can't get away from it. Getting into the Word every day is necessary for us to go deeper with Jesus than we ever have before in our lives. You're like, Pastor, I really don't know what I should do to go deeper with Jesus every day of my life. How do I do this? Get into the Word every day. Simple answer. Sermon done. Check. Serious. Evaluate your life. Moment of honesty for yourself. Right? How frequently are you in the Word of God, Maplewood? Besides Sunday, Sundays don't count. We're all coming together. This is in your personal life. What's the quality of your devotional life? What's the quality of your time that you spend in the Scriptures? There's a correlation. There's a correlation between confidence and being grounded in the Word, regardless of the circumstances. Second thing, this passage provides some great tips on how to incorporate the Joshua model in our lives. Okay? How many of you like a DIY project? Do it yourself. You'll do it. Crystal's back there. She's the only honest one in the pack. I know a lot of you like to do things yourself. We've got a whole industry. You know, Lowe's and Home Depot exist because of the do-it-yourself kind of industry trend that we have in our society. Biblical meditation, getting into the Word, is a DIY discipline. It is a do-it-yourself discipline. No one else can get in the Word for you. Amen. Oh, my spouse has a really strong devotional life. Well, but I don't. Well, guess what? You're not benefiting from your spouse's biblical meditation time. You got to do it yourself. Amen. No one else can do it for you. Every follower of Jesus needs to make biblical meditation a personal commitment. Needs to be, you get into it, or you get out of it what you put into it. Does that make sense? If you do drive-by devotions, you're going to get drive-by output. You know? Do you want a cold cheeseburger or do you want a steak? You know, the time you put into it is based on what you get out of it. And Joshua is told by God, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Joshua, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. And you know what? That sounds great in theory. That sounds great in theory, but how do you live in the spirit of God's direction to Joshua here? I think we can find some help on how to implement what God's telling Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1 by going back to a passage in the book of Deuteronomy. Again, we're in the Old Testament here. Joshua would have been very familiar with this passage in Deuteronomy. He would have been, as a lieutenant of Moses, he would have known all about it. This verse in Deuteronomy would have rung in Joshua's ears like Billy Ray Cyrus to you and me. It was one of those songs that the Israelites couldn't get out of their heads. It was drilled into them every day. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, we read the Lord talking to Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This is the Shema, by the way. "The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And here's where we get to the help. All right? "These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts." They were given on stone tablets, but God is saying they're to be upon your hearts. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." There's some practical tips here real quick. Four real quick tips I'll give you this morning. Again, we're focused on breaking the world's mold on your brain so you can be spiritually transformed by the renewing of your mind. You with me? You traveling along with me here this morning? First off, it's real simple. Memorizing and meditating verses of Scripture is very helpful. Memorization and meditation on Scripture, very helpful. The psalmist tells us to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Hide the Word of God in your hearts. The Apostle Paul told the Colossian church, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let it dwell in you richly. You don't have to memorize the entire Bible, church. And when I was in Bible quizzing as a teen, we would study books in the Bible, and literally the people who were good at Bible quizzing, they memorized the entire Scripture. Like, they could, like, tell you all of Romans and all of Hebrews and all of Acts, and I'm like, I couldn't do that. I was never really good at quizzing, Brother Bill. But I did, and some of those exercises in quizzing still stick with me today because I know those Scriptures because of being in Bible quizzing as a teenager. Yeah, it was maybe more gray cells or something like that. You don't have to memorize the entire Bible. But what I would encourage you to do in terms of owning your own biblical devotional life is to commit key verses that are helpful to you. You know, Bible's a big book. You got to get into it. And things you find helpful, commit to memory. And don't give me the excuse that I'm not good at memorizing, because don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, I just don't think you'll understand. You can do it. We do it all the time for things that are in front of us all the time. And I think this principle of putting Scripture in the hot rotation in our lives can be helpful for the people following Jesus to meditate on the Word. Second, the passage reminds us to consider various times of day to review Scripture. Will you wake up in the morning? That's a good time to review Scripture. Will you go to sleep at night? That's actually a really good time too, because you think in your sleep about what was on your mind right before you went to bed. That's not a bad time. On your way to and from work. Dexter was talking about the Lord speaking to him on his drive to work. During your downtime. But intentionally making some time. Doesn't mean you spend every moment of your day in Scripture. That's kind of impractical unless you're a monk or a nun, and we ain't got none of that here. But when you commit some time every day, you'll get something out of it. You'll get something out of it. You're going to find you can't do without it. My favorite part of my day these days is getting up in the morning at like 6:15. I get up a little earlier. I don't have to start work until 7:30 or 8 most days. But my favorite part of my day is my morning time in the Word. Yeah, that is my favorite part of my day. I do it every day. I grab some coffee, a peanut butter sandwich, a banana. I set up my desk in my office. I have my pen, I have my highlighter, and I have my Bible and my little devotional book that I use. And I spend some time just quietly starting my day before I do anything else in Scripture. I just, you know, just in Scripture, reading the Word, sipping coffee, reflecting on the writings in the devotional book that I'm reading. Sometimes I'll write down my reflections in a little bit of a journal. And that's a theme, by the way, in all these methods of biblical meditation. I write down my reflections, and then I'll pray, and then I'll go on with my day. My favorite time, that's my time with the Lord. And when I miss that time, my day can tell it. And people around me can tell that I miss that time a little bit. But when is your daily time with the Lord? When is your daily time in the Word? Do you have a time? Is it random? That won't work for you. You need to develop a habit. What tools do you gather? What helps you have that special time with the Lord? You see, because you're building rituals. We're building rituals in our lives, and the more you build rituals, the more those habits are reinforced, and you'll get in there. You'll really enjoy it. You'll really, really enjoy it. Where's your place? My place is in my office at home, right at my desk, in my comfy chair. You know, that's my place. Some of you, maybe it's at the kitchen table, or it's in your sunroom, or something like that. I don't know, but find a regular place where you can get with the Lord in Scripture. So that's the second thing that we get here. The third thing that this passage suggests is keeping Scripture in front of us. Keep Scripture in front of us in our homes, in our workplaces, where it makes sense. Now, one of the really cool styles these days is to have these Scripture verses stenciled across your wall, like in your dining room or in your living room, or have the, you know, those big wood plaques, those narrow wood plaques, and you have like grace. Or hope, or, you know, Jesus, or I don't know what you put on these things, but they're just words. They're, you know, we have a picture of Jesus in our dining room, and we call him Hippie Jesus because he's dressed like a hippie and he's holding a little lammy. It's a classic little picture, but that's up in our house. That's been in our house since we were married, I think. But just signs, things that put visual reminders in our homes. If you're not allowed to paint on your walls, by the way, check your lease. Your pastor does not have authority to override your lease. Just want you to know. If you're not allowed to paint on the walls, post-it notes are awesome for this. Note cards, simple note cards. You can go to Walmart and buy post-it notes and note cards for a couple bucks and you're set. You're set. And, you know, if you're going through Scripture and you find a verse that helps you and you're trying to memorize it, write it out on a note card or a post-it note. Right? Post it in the mirror in your bathroom. Take a selfie of yourself posting it in the bathroom. I found this picture. Don't do that. Post it on your computer screen so that every time you're looking at your computer screen or your TV screen, right? Or maybe on your telephone. Post it on your telephone. Or maybe you post it on your Bible, on the front of your Bible, so that's just something that's on your mind all the time. Or maybe you put it above the window. Above your kitchen sink. Or maybe you post it on your refrigerator. Put it in front of you. Melanie's like, that's what I do. Surround your environment. Create an environment with reminders of key verses that the Lord is speaking to you through in that moment. And the beauty of post-it notes is that when the Lord's done talking, you can dig it down and water it up and throw it away and put a new one up. Very easy to do. Surround your environment. Create an environment where Scripture is in front of you. And fourth, this is simple. The passage suggests that we talk about the Scriptures together. You know, reflecting together on the Scriptures. You might reflect by keeping a journal. We've talked about that. But boy, I think there's nothing more powerful to drive reflection on what God's saying to you than talking about it with another person. Getting into a group where you can share how the Lord has been speaking to you through Scripture. Talk about them, the Scriptures say. When we share our insights with one another, it's a win-win. It's a win for them, it's a win for you. The goal is to be so in the Word that certain verses become like a song you can't get out of your head. That's the whole point of this here, church. That's what you need to remain grounded in Christ. Like every verse of Scripture that we put to memory and meditate on is like a stake in the ground, keeping us firmly in place, you know. And so the more of them we have staked down, the more the more of a firm foundation that we have in our relationship with God. This is what you need to remain grounded in Christ. It's what you need to grow in your faith, okay? Some of you are great at this, but some of you are right now are like, oh man, maybe I need to work on this just a little bit. That's okay. Not criticizing anybody this morning. Encouraging you to get into the Word. It's what you need to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life. It's what you need to see your spirit transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's what you need to be remade into the image of God. And it's the difference. Don't miss this. It's the difference between being able to face life strong and courageous as opposed to off balance in a crisis of confidence. And all this works, all this is great for a follower of Jesus, but if you try to do this, church, the prerequisite is your relationship with Jesus has to be up to date. Because you know, sometimes you're like, man, I've had conversations with people before where they're like, it's just not working for me, Pastor. And it's like, you can't like get into the Word and dig into the Word unless that relationship with Jesus is totally aligned.
Amen.
Okay? You know, because it's just not going to work for you. So my question for you this morning, twofold. Do you have the prerequisite taken care of? Where's your relationship with the Lord this morning? Because if you've been trying and feels like you're banging your head against the wall and not getting anywhere spiritually, the root cause of that problem may be because the Lord has asked you to surrender something to Him and maybe you have it. And then the second part is to intentionally adopt the Joshua model. Be in the Word, church. Be in the Word regularly so that your mind can be transformed, so that you can be remade into the image of Christ.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. Or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.